Hi everyone, welcome to Radio KAL Live, brought to you by SupermanHomepage.com, the number one Superman fan site in the world. My name is Steve Eunice. In this, our September 12th, 2017 show, we're going to be covering a range of topics, including a Justice League VR experience. We'll be talking about Supergirl Season 3, a new trailer has been released, and we're going to be talking about so much more. We'll also be opening the line to take your questions and comments on any particular Superman, Supergirl, or Justice League topic you would like to discuss. And to let you know how all that works and how you can get involved in tonight's show, let me introduce you to my co-host, the Prince of Podcasts, Michael Bailey. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Steve. Now, obviously, the live listeners have gone to www.supermanhomepage.com/live because they're, you know, listening to the show. There they will find a phone number, which is 714-242-6186. That's 714-242-6186. There they will be warmly greeted by me and then eventually talking to the rest of the listeners. And we do that about at the halfway point of the show. Now, since this is 2017 and we're beaming this live across the internet and therefore around the planet Houston, you can call in via Skype. And to do that, you can use the little Skype icon at the supermanhomepage.com/live page to call and be on the show.
Yes, and don't forget, as always, there is a Flash chat room attached to the bottom of the live listening page you're on right now. So we invite our live listeners to join in there and chat with fellow listeners. Michael and I will keep an eye on that chat room to react to your comments and questions throughout the show. But we'd like to hear from you in person. So as Michael has said, about the halfway point of tonight's show, get on the phone or call through Skype using that little button and let's have a chat about everything and anything Superman related. And a huge thank you to our sponsors and patrons, Tina Murray, Patrick O'Neill, and Stephen Wright. We really appreciate your support. So how have you been, Mike? How has the wild weather in your part of the world, has it passed you by? Did it cause much damage in your area?
We were very fortunate. By the time Hurricane Irma got to the Atlanta area, because I live just outside of Atlanta in Georgia, it had been downgraded to a tropical storm, and we were very fortunate, in, you know, just in general, because we never lost power, and the only damage to the house is the chimney cap blew off at one point. But a lot of my friends in the area and the people I know are still without power right now.
Wow.
Just because it just overwhelmed the area. But it was nothing compared to what happened in Miami and what happened in the southern part of the state. But we came through it okay. I actually am taking responsibility for our power not going out, because when I got home, they let us off early from work so that we could get home safely. And when I got home, we still had power, and I thought for a minute, I'm like, well, maybe let me work on some podcasting stuff. I'm over that nasty cold, so I'm going to work on podcasting stuff. And I'm like, no, I'm going to be in the middle of something, and the power's going to go out, and I don't have a battery backup system. So I'm just like, okay, I'm not going to do anything on the computer, and the power never went out. and if I had gotten on the computer, the power would have gone out. So
100%.
I just sat there. Actually, I sat there for a little while watching Superman 2 on my phone while my wife took a nap, and we just kind of weathered the storm.
Very good. Well, glad to hear that you're all right, and our thoughts are with those people who are still without power and maybe suffering from loss of homes or damaged personal items and things like that. We hope you're all safe and that the recovery doesn't take too long, and that you're up and running before you know it.
And we're hoping that Jose just doesn't come anywhere near us, because that's the next one coming through.
Yeah, I see that they're lined up out there. It's just crazy.
Tis the season. So, but we've got fun stuff to talk about tonight.
Indeed. Now, we like to start with movie stuff. So off the top, we have an announcement. A press release was sent out by Warner Brothers, announcing Justice League VR, the complete experience. And it says here, Warner Brothers invites fans to join the league in a thrilling virtual reality experience that allows you to step into the shoes and feel the powers of the iconic DC superheroes, Batman, Wonder Woman, The Flash, Aquaman, and Cyborg. The Justice League VR experience will be rolled out in stages to be released prior to, during, and after the theatrical opening of Justice League on November 17th. The four-stage unveiling will culminate with the at-home Justice League VR, the complete experience. Now, I mentioned all the superheroes there, and if you look at the screen, one of the screen captures for this, there is a Superman symbol there with the words over the top of it, inactive. So he will be coming to this VR experience.
Yeah, well, that doesn't surprise me that he's inactive, since they're, you know, probably just wanting to wait for that to kind of roll out with the movie.
Yeah, so if you're interested in this, JusticeLeagueTheMovie.com/VR.
Yeah, I don't know if... Man, I feel old right now because I want to say that I don't feel like I want to do that kind of stuff, but then I got to start talking about how these kids got to get off my lawn, basically. So.
Yeah, virtual reality is one of those kinds of things that's been in the pipeline for a long time. We've heard about virtual reality for ages, for generations, or decades even. And now with, you know, mobile phones and cell phones and these little things that you can strap to your head with your phone encased in them, you really get these amazing virtual reality experiences right in your own home. You know, I mean, I remember back in the day there was, you know, you'd have to put a whole helmet on, you'd have to go to a special place, you know, to try to get this really clunky virtual reality experience. And, you know, there were films like what was it, Ghost in the Machine, or one of those Stephen King adapted movies that was horrible.
The Lawnmower Man, awful. Jor-El himself was in one of them. It was a terrible film where he was the villain in a virtual reality thing. And then there was that horrible episode of Lois and Clark where they had to fight the guy in virtual reality, it's just funny to look at that stuff now, because now it seems really silly back then. But I wonder if people are going to think that the virtual reality we have now is silly compared to what we'll have 20 years from now. At work, we're selling these things that you can buy as basically an app for your phone. It's something you put over your phone, and it's all educational stuff. So
okay,
I'm thinking that it's going to be more of where everything's going in the future. But as phones get better, as the screens and such get better on the phones and such, especially with Apple announcing the Apple 10, today, that I'm sure this stuff is just going to get better and better and better. And eventually, we're not going to be living in the real world at all. We're just going to be stuck in the Matrix. So I'm looking forward to our cybernetic overlords taking over, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, for sure. Now, these VR experiences for Justice League movie, there's a Gillette edition, which will be available for iPhones and Android phones starting September 7th. So that's already available now. It's a free download from the App Store or Google Play Store. This demo version is an interactive gaze-based experience, and we'll have up to 90 seconds of gameplay per character. The experience requires Google Cardboard or an equivalent VR viewer to play. So just like those things we're talking about, you strap onto your head and put your phone into. There'll also be a Justice League booth at New York Comic Con, where you'll be able to get a sneak peek at the HTC Vive version of the experience for the Join the League New York Comic Con edition of this VR experience. And then there will be the IMAX VR Justice League experience, which will be unveiled at IMAX VR centers beginning November 17th. So the day the film is opening in theaters and in IMAX for the first 2 weeks, this totally immersive and completely interactive adventure will test if you are able to master your superhero powers. And for that one, imaxvr.imax.com. And then finally, in December, the VR experience comes home with an expanded Justice League virtual reality, the complete experience, to be released for transactional purchase on multiple VR platforms. And this will be for HTC Vive, Oculus Rift, Samsung Gear VR, Google Daydream, and Sony PSVR. subject to change that list. So, wow, just, you know, they're really going all out with this VR experience.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised. I feel like it's probably something they're going to want to hype more and more. And if this is successful, then, you know, we'll get more and more for each new film. It's really kind of weird to think, though, that we're now only 2 months away from Justice League being in theaters.
Mm.
It just this year has just kind of flown by. And it really doesn't feel like we should be this close. And yet here we are.
Exactly. So it's just around the corner. And we'll be obviously ramping up with, you know, TV commercials and TV spots and, you know, another trailer possibly. And all the toys are coming out. And speaking of the toys, there was a very low resolution version of a Lego TV commercial promoting their Justice League movie toy set, which has been found on YouTube. And Superman is included in this commercial, which is mainly the Justice League action, like the Lego figures. There's a Batmobile. They build I'm just going to play the ad now for myself because I can't remember what they say, that they help build. It's like got Steppenwolf, the Flying Fox, it's called, and it's a big kind of flying contraption that the Batmobile goes into. It shoots out, you know, weapons and things. And but the Lego TV commercial is all about the, you know, the toys, and Superman, as I said, is one of those figures that is amongst that playset.
Yeah, it looks interesting, at least. I'm not surprised that Superman is part of it, though, because they're hitting him with all the merchandise. So it's not quite a shock that he's in it for the Lego thing. I don't think it's a spoiler at this point that Superman's in the film, is what I'm saying.
No, I don't think that's a spoiler much. It's just where or how he'll be part of the film that we're all kind of hanging out for. And in other Justice League news, a version of the, as you know, in the trailers that you've been watching and that have been released for the Justice League movie, there's been a version of the Come Together song, which was originally written and performed by the Beatles. Gary Clark Jr. is the artist behind this new revamped, heavier version of the song Come Together, featured in the Justice League trailers, and it has officially been released on Spotify by Warner Brothers Music. And we have a snippet of that song to play right now for you if you want to get a... you've heard the music, but you haven't necessarily heard some of the lyrics. So here's part of the song Come Together by Gary Clark Jr. Snippet of Come Together by Gary Clark Jr., obviously made famous and written by the Beatles. Oh, just Michael's just dropped out, unfortunately. Hopefully he'll call back in a second. But yeah, I'm a big Beatles fan, so instantly recognized the riff from Come Together when I first heard that Justice League, saw that Justice League trailer. And I don't mind this version of Come Together. The guitar work in it is really cool. The lyrics by Lennon and McCartney are amazing and, as I said, iconic. So that Beatles song redone in this version by Gary Clark Jr. for the Justice League movie. I'm not sure if it will be in the soundtrack. That'll be interesting to see if it's actually released as part of the soundtrack, or if indeed it is in the movie, or if it's just been put together for the film itself.
Personally, it's not really all that good to me. I don't know if it's because I like the original so much, but it just, I don't know. When I think of the Justice League, I don't think of a rock song, you know? I want something orchestral and heroic. And it just, when you play that, it just gives me this feeling that, you know, you're trying too hard to appeal to a quote unquote modern audience, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, considering it's an older song that they're remastering. And I guess Come Together makes sense in the fact that it's all about the Justice League coming together, or these heroes coming together to form the Justice League. So that's why I'm wondering whether or not, for those reasons that you mentioned, if it will be in the movie or if it's just been released as part of the trailer. So interesting. We'll see what happens there.
Yeah, it was probably successful in the trailer, so that they wanted to kind of release it. And, you know, it's on Spotify, so it's not like they're releasing it to iTunes or Amazon Music yet. So we'll see how that goes. Maybe they're testing the waters here to see if they do want to release it.
So, yeah, it is available on Spotify. If that's something you subscribe to, you can hear and download and stream the song Come Together by Gary Clark Jr. All right, well, that's everything about the movie to date for this week. We move forward into the world of television, where, as we know, Supergirl Season 3 is less than a month away from hitting our TV screens, and Warner Brothers and the CW officially released a new trailer for Season 3 of Supergirl. So let me play the audio from that trailer right now for you.
I tried to be Kara Danvers for 15 years, but I'm not supposed to be her.
What makes me is Supergirl.
I can tell when someone's lying to me. You don't have to hide it from me.
Meet Robert Dubois, goes by Bloodsport.
I've got this.
They'll never see you coming.
National City is my town.
Supergirl, season premiere, Monday, October 9th on the CW.
So, yeah, there we have the audio. And in the beginning, you hear Melissa Benoist's voice saying, I tried to be Kara Danvers for 15 years. But I'm not supposed to be. What makes me is Supergirl. And then you have Lena Luthor saying, I can tell when someone's lying to me. You don't have to hide from me, or something along those lines. We see Kara going into an elevator doing the shirt rip, revealing the S symbol underneath. And then we meet Robert Barr, who, as you know, is the villain Bloodsport, and we see a lot of action and a lot of fighting. We see Kara or Supergirl saying, National City is my town, and then the announcement that Season 3 premieres Monday, October 9th at 8 p.m. on the CW.
Yeah, it's really funny when Wynn says, you know, Robert Dubois, a.k.a. Bloodsport, I'm like, man, that is his name, isn't it? Because I don't often think of Bloodsport's real name. But I am assuming he is going to be a teleportation villain from the line, you know, they'll never see me coming. They're probably, instead of him just being able to teleport weapons, he's probably going to be able to teleport, you know, his entire body, which actually makes for an interesting villain. The one thing that really I thought was interesting, and it's something that my wife pointed out to me in some of the early episodes of Supergirl, is when you're seeing that close-up of her using her super hearing as she's floating over National City, you notice that she's wearing earrings.
Yep.
And it's just like, well, that must have happened before she got off of Krypton. So it's just those kind of weird things that if she couldn't have gotten them on Earth, because she would have been invulnerable.
Yeah, unless they use the kryptonite syringe or something like that to make the hole in her ear. But yeah, I remember hearing that before in season
which
one.
Which I could actually see them.
Yeah, it was crazy.
In all honesty.
And talking about crazy sisters, we've got the executive producer Andrew Kreisberg telling Entertainment Weekly this past week that not only will Kara and Alex be the main focus of the stories taking place in season three of Supergirl, but the Danza sisters will be central to the story taking place in this season's four-way crossover with Arrow, The Flash, and DC's Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, I like that idea that they're going to make it a little more personal, and that, you know, makes sense that, you know, because the Supergirl episode is going to be more directly involved with it. But I like the idea that this season they're going to explore their relationship a little bit more. And I think it'll be interesting to see how, you know, Maggie's not going to be in every episode, but Lena will be. So is Lena, as a friend to Kara, going to kind of intrude on their relationship? So, but I like it that they're going to be central to the big crossover, because it'll be kind of cool to see. I cannot remember her sister's name all of a sudden.
Alex.
Alex. Oh, why? Wow. It's been a long day, apparently. But it'll be interesting to see Alex mix it up with the other heroes. I think that'll be cool to see.
Andrew Kreisberg says, one of the things we've been doing a lot this season is getting back to season one and really making it Danvers sisters centric. So a lot of what's going on this season is Kara and Alex doing things in tandem, and the crossover won't be any different. And I like that idea, because I think they kind of lost their way a little bit in season two. I remember being more entertained in season one than I was in season two, or having less problems with season one than I had with season two. So going back to season one's, I guess, feeling or, you know, tactics as far as, you know, what kind of episode you want to write seems like the right move to me.
Oh, I agree completely. I think the move to the CW focused a little too much on the romance, which some people like. So I'm not gonna argue that, because some people may come to the show for that sort of thing. And I really like that they had a straight on, you know, LGBTQ relationship and having Alex come to terms with who she is. But something got lost in there. And I think it was, you know, them working together, because it seemed like a lot of the season was them doing things separately. And Alex was so caught up with her Maggie subplots that it really wasn't until that one episode where she got kidnapped that it seemed like they really had all that much to do with each other. So I agree with you completely on that.
Now, the new crossover between the Supergirl, Arrow, The Flash, and DC's Legends of Tomorrow will begin on Monday, November 27th, with Supergirl and Arrow, and then continue on Tuesday, November 28th, with The Flash and Legends of Tomorrow. So looking forward to that crossover later this year. And again, it's only 2 months away, or just over 2 months away, that we'll get in the crossover, where Supergirl is only a month away, October 9th, so less than a month away for the premiere of season three. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, I mean, the trailer looks good. It they're coming in strong. It looks like with an interesting storyline of Kara deciding, you know, what identity she really needs, which makes sense after what happened at the end of season two. So it looks really cool.
Indeed. And elsewhere on television, Justice League Action, the latest episode on Cartoon Network this past Saturday, was, as we mentioned last week, Superman's pal Sid Sharp. Now, in this episode, when obnoxious reporter Sid Sharp decides that Clark Kent is getting all his stories because of his connection to Superman, Sid decides to become his own superhero to out-scoop him. Now, Mark Lax, who calls in regularly on this show and is our reviewer at the Superman homepage for Justice League Action, he gave this episode a 4 out of 5. Was saying that while Superman, this series has used Superman well, it's nice to see him get spotlight And I agree totally. And speaking of the spotlight, this coming episode, this Saturday morning, is also another Superman-centric episode.
Yay!
So it's great to see more Superman. Actually, this week's episode is titled Superman Red versus Superman Blue.
Oh, I may actually have to watch this one. Wow. That's actually kind of interesting. I'm going to have to check that out, I guess.
Thomas Dreyfus, who was our previous reviewer of Justice League Action at the Superman homepage, tweeted a photo of a screen capture of this episode, and it's got a totally blue Superman and a totally red Superman in the image, which was quite interesting. So looking forward to seeing how Jason J. Lewis, who's the voice of Superman in Justice League Action, how he does this episode. He'll obviously have to double up and do both Superman Blue and Superman Red, and it'll be interesting to see if there's any differentiation in the way he portrays the different versions of Superman in this episode, which will air on Cartoon Network in the US on Saturday, September 16th at 7 a.m. So looking forward to that one.
I wonder if they're going to do the thing they did in the comics where the Superman Red during that whole storyline in 97, or actually that was more like 98, where Superman Red was kind of a hothead and Superman 2 is more like, you know, reserved. So I wonder if that's how they're going to play it and that's how he can differentiate his voices.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see just how this one plays out. So Superman Red versus Superman Blue on Justice League Action this coming Saturday morning. Looking forward to that. Now, speaking of television, and before we go to our halfway point of tonight's show, Michael Rosenbaum has his own podcast. It's titled Inside of You, and it's also a video, or vodcast, if you like, that he sets up nicely in a lounge. It looks like, I don't know if it's his house or whatever, but he's got a really nice setup there for his podcast, sitting there with his coffee in his hand. And opposite him this week is Tom Welling. So it's Inside of Tom Welling is the title of this podcast or videocast. The two of them sitting opposite each other. Tom's on the lounge drinking what looks like an orange juice. And they go through reminiscing about the old days on set together. They talk about how the cast all came together to get Tom a driver so he didn't have to nearly kill himself driving to set at 4:30 a.m. for an 18-hour day. They talk about the time that Michael Rosenbaum yelled at Tom when he was directing an episode, and they talk about how much they both enjoyed making out with Kristen Crook.
Yeah, I'm really going to want to listen to this. That's kind of funny.
Yeah, so I listened to snippets here and there, and look, if you're averse to a bit of swearing and you know, a bit of colorful language, then you might, you know, just kind of word a warning going in, because both of them, you know, throw around a few adjectives left, right, and center. And so it's, I mean, that's Michael Rosenbaum. And I guess when you're sitting opposite him, Tom kind of gets comfortable and does the same thing. You know, Michael is, you know, one of those guys that just says what comes straight to his mind, doesn't really have a filter. So, it is an interesting episode, interesting interview discussion between them. I wouldn't even call it an interview, really. It's really just two guys, two pals sitting opposite each other, catching up, talking about old times. And Michael does ask Tom about, you know, his early days as a model and, you know, before he got into acting and how he got into acting and all that kind of stuff. So if you're a Tom Welling fan, then definitely it's well worth checking out.
Yeah, I just found it on my podcatcher, so I guess
cool.
I'll be listening to that after the show.
Yeah, how long does it get? It's an hour and 25 minutes is the video on YouTube, which has been posted at the Superman homepage. So it's one that you might want to download and you know, on your commute to work or during your lunch hour or whatever it might be, check it out when you can, and have a look at Tom and Michael having a good chat about old times on Smallville. All right, well, that's the halfway point of tonight's show. We're going to take a quick break, play some messages, and then we're going to come back on the other side of these messages, talk about comic books. Specifically, we're going to talk about Superman number 30, which came out this past week. We're also going to talk about Action Comics 987, which is the Oz storyline. Who is Mr. Oz? We'll find out more right after these messages. Don't go away. We'll be right back soon.
What will happen now? We'll know more in a moment when we return for the exciting climax of today's episode. So stand by.
Look, up in the sky.
It's a bird.
It's a plane. No, it's SupermanHomepage.com, the number one Superman fan site in the world. SupermanHomepage.com, covering the world of Superman from the 1930s to today. News, reviews, rumors, and reports. SupermanHomepage.com for all your Superman comics, TV shows, movies, cartoons, radio shows, and more. Everything you ever wanted to know about the Man of Steel and more. SupermanHomepage.com.
You're listening to the Radio KAL Live Talkback Show from SupermanHomepage.com.
This is Jack O'Halloran. You're listening to Radio KAL live on SupermanHomepage.com.
To stop the evil doomsday, you need a hero who's more than a man. Superman. He's been called the greatest, the strongest, the first among heroes. High-voltage villain Conduit is powered by kryptonite. But with krypton cannon blasting, laser Superman powers him down. Conduit will learn,
don't mess with the S.
Superman. It's the dreaded Doomsday, the most fearsome force in the universe.
Even Doomsday will learn.
You don't mess with the S. Superman figures each sold separately. Blocks not included.
This is James Konacek, the voice of Superman. You're listening to KAL Live.
And we're back on Radio KAL Live, where our guest call-in number is 714-242-6186. That number again, 714-242-6186. Or you can click on the little Skype icon found next to that guest call-in number on our live listening page at supermanhomepage.com/live to be part of tonight's show. If you want to call in and have a chat with Michael and I, we're only too happy to hear from you. Now, Michael, this past week saw the release of Superman number 30, which our reviewer Adam DeChannel gave a 4 out of 5 on the Superman homepage, saying the glimpses into Clark's fears are enlightening and somewhat sad that he would ever contemplate these scenes. What did you think of it?
I enjoyed it quite a bit. I thought the emotional part of the story of dealing with what Superman is afraid of. And, you know, one of the things that really struck me was him and Lois at the doctor and the doctor telling him that the cancer is stage 4 and irreversible, that there's nothing they can do. You know, it's just like one of those things where, you know, like, how do you get to Superman? What do you make him afraid of? And being helpless in the death of his wife would be one of those fears. I also liked, and this is really old school Superman too, that he was like, he not only defeated Sinestro, but he really tried to make life for the weaponers of Quard better, and leaving one of them in charge, you know, after, you know, they turned against Sinestro and all that. I thought that was I thought it was a really, what was kind of just a stunt idea of Superman's been taken over by Parallax and has to fight Sinestro, actually turned out to be a really cool little 2-part story. So I liked it a lot. I really thought they did a good job with it.
Yeah, I did too. I mean, that kind of, you know, was kind of a throwaway panel almost at the end there about, you know, him trying to leave them in a better position than, you know, where than what he found them. But it was such a Superman thing. It's such a Superman moment. It's not like, you know, it could have been very easy for them just to go, you know, finish with Sinestro, finish with, you know, what's happening there with Parallax and kind of just leave and go back to Earth. But, you know, spending time to make sure that the weaponers were, you know, also, you know, that loose end was also tied off was a very Superman moment that probably other character comic book stories wouldn't deal with.
Yeah, and it's not something, I hate to beat on a dead horse, but that's not something you saw during the New 52.
Mm.
You know, like at the end of the adventure, Superman either doubted himself even more, or it was just like, okay, that's done, let's move on to the next thing. And here we're moving back to a more traditional version of the character that seems to be doing better than that one. So it's like, you know, we're well over a year into Rebirth at this point, and it's not getting worse. It's actually maintaining a good quality. And with what's coming up this week, it's almost like they just keep getting better and better. So it's kind of exciting, really, as you know, for a Superman reader.
Yeah, it is definitely exciting. And at this point, we bring in our good friend and regular caller, Mark Lax, who I'm sure has his own opinions on Superman 30. Welcome, Mark.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Yeah, doing well, thanks.
That's good. I love this issue. He's been, since Rebirth, like Mike said, it's just been getting better. But there's certain stories where, you know, he's a little bit more Superman, where others he was just kind of, you know, a little bit more the husband and the father while being Superman. This one, he really just got to be, you know, I mean, fighting Sinestro and Parallax, and he just seemed confident and, you know, just, you know, standing up to Sinestro, and I just enjoyed it. He was just very confident in the scenes that they wrote. And I just enjoyed that. And, you know, the last scene obviously is with Lois and John, and they're in his room and all of that. And that was, you know, that's very nice. But I like to see, you know, him just be Superman, just do what he does and still show the morals, you know, that he has, and not be, you know, I mean, you know, the way that people complain, oh, he's a Boy Scout and he's this and he's that, and he's not showing he's a Boy Scout. He's showing he's got morals. He's a good guy, but he's, you know, he's going to say, hey, look, you know, this is the way you were before. I saw that you can do good, you know, and leave these guys with, hey, maybe you should think about what you're doing, you know, not, you know, giving them a big, you know, lesson or anything. Just saying, hey, you've done good. Maybe you can do good, and then, you know, flying off, and we're using the not flying off exactly. Like you say, use the lightning, whatever. But no, it was a really good issue. I really enjoyed it. These I have to say, these fill-in issues have actually been pretty entertaining. I'm not saying they're better than the original guys that are doing it, but I'm just saying they've been entertaining. I really enjoyed them.
Yeah, they've been more than just filler. Now, this week we have the release of Action Comics 987. You'll be getting the lenticular covers. You've got the whole Oz storyline. Who is Mr. Oz? Dan Jurgens spoke to DC All Access in a new video interview where he, you know, delves into a bit of, you know, what we'll find out in this issue. There's no spoilers in the interview if you're worried about playing the video. Obviously, the comic hasn't come out yet. It's released on Wednesday, so they're, you know, it's going to be hard to stay spoiler free if you're online, going across different websites and things. We'll be putting up our own review on the Wednesday or Thursday, right after the comic has been released. But Dan Jurgens tells us, Michael, that we'll be finding out the identity of Mr. Oz in this very issue.
Yep, and this is one of those times where I'm really glad that I have the digital subscription, because I won't be able to get to the comic shop tomorrow because of work, and I don't want to wait. so I'll be able to download that and read it like on my lunch break. And I'm really, pardon the pun, I am super excited for this.
Yeah. And Mark, any expectations from this? Anything that you think or that you want to see, you know, revealed?
Well, I've been looking forward to this story from the first, you know, solicitation. I've just been waiting. In fact, I've been waiting for something about Mr. Oz for a while now. And, you know, usually after, you know, I digitally, you know, download the comics, I usually wait a few days before I read the, you know, the comic. But like Mike said, I'm read that. I'm going to buy it tomorrow. I'm going to read it tomorrow. I don't, you know, because I don't want spoilers, but. Wow, this is going to be a big story, and I, you know, I have certain ideas who we could be, but who knows, you know? It's just going to be something really exciting, because this is going to, you know, also probably play into everything with, you know, Doomsday Clock and all of that, and I know it also plays into other stories, too, because I guess Tim Drake was a captive of his, so, but... Just, you know, his relationship with Superman and what it's all about and what he's all about. And, you know, because we've seen him just watching him on the screen. We've seen him in his, you know, I don't know, citadel or whatever you want to call it. We've seen him do some magical things. And I'm just really, anticipated to see who he is and what it's all about.
Yeah, because he's a real interesting a character that seems to have, an unlimited power. We've seen him mess with Mr. Mixius Piddalek. We see that he's got Doomsday there. He seems, as you say, have magical powers and be able to pop in and out and affect, you know, different things, set people's memories, you know, all, you know, reality itself. So the Oz Effect story, says here, will affect Superman's comics for years to come.
So on one hand, I love that he said that. On the other hand, and this isn't me complaining, that just seems to be the thing that he's been saying constantly throughout all these things. It's just when Superman Reborn was about to hit, he's just like, well, this is gonna affect Superman for years to come. But here's the thing, I like that. I like that they're thinking beyond the next big storyline. And, you know, when this one wraps up, it's going to be Action 991. We're going to be 9 issues away from 1,000. So wow. I'm kind of thinking that probably what's going to happen is by the time 1,000 comes out, you know, I think Doomsday Clock is going to be wrapped up, and I think that's where we're going to see this is Superman for the foreseeable future story, because we're still in flux from Rebirth. You know, everything's still kind of weird because the history got changed, you know, after Superman Reborn. So I think Action 1000 is going to be, you know, kind of that tipping point where, after that, it's going to be a little more the background and the universe are going to be a little more solidified.
Yeah, I think leading up, because after Superman Reborn, it was a great story, but it, you know, while it explained Superman's timeline, I mean, it left a lot of things, because this affects now the entire universe. You know, what happened to him in Superman Reborn, and we really haven't seen all those effects yet, so. This story, you know, going to be leading eventually into Doomsday Clock and then onto Action 1000. I think at that point we're really going to see, you know, no more, you know, what ifs or whatever. This is Superman. This is his world. And this is, you know, this is how things are going to be. So I'm really looking forward to that.
And it's a big week in comic books this week for Superman fans or fans that are involved in the Superman world of characters. We've got Action Comics 987, the Oz Effect story, as we've been talking about. There's also New Superman number 15, Supergirl number 13, Superwoman number 14, Red Hood and the Outlaws number 14 has a Bizarro story, or Bizarro continues to be part of that. And there's the second issue of the Dark Knight's Metal 6-issue miniseries, if you're into that one. There's also the Superman Reborn hardcover out this week. And DC Universe Rebirth Omnibus Expanded Edition hardcover is also out this week. So it's a big week for Superman fans of comic books.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, this is the week that our wallets hurt the most, basically.
Yeah, it is. Indeed. I haven't been getting a lot of the other titles lately. I mean, eventually I'll catch up on them, but it's just so great to have all this Superman and Superman-centric stuff out there, you know.
Yeah, hey, cool. Well, thanks, Mark. Always great to hear from you. Appreciate you calling in and having a chat with us today. And bet you're looking forward to Superman Red versus Superman Blue this Saturday morning on Justice League Action.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I saw that title a while back, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait for this one. So
yeah, it should be
that
good
should
one.
Be fun.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Take care. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye. That was Mark Lax. So, yeah, that's Superman number 30 and Action Comics 987, which we've just been speaking about. And as I said, a big week this week for comic books. If you're a Superman fan, it is the big week of purchases with Supergirl, Superwoman, New Superman, and Action Comics all out this week. You know, they're some of the main titles in the Superman world. So a big week for September 13th.
Yeah, I still wish they would kind of spread it out a little more, but you know, I'm gonna spend the money anyways. So maybe it's better that it all hits me one week and I really don't have to worry about it the rest of the month.
Very true. Now, in an odd story that I saw and had people alerting me to here in Australia, was on the Channel 9 news on primetime television news back on Monday night. There was a Superman themed prosthetic leg turned up and was lost in a park in Australia, and it ended up belonging to a 3-year-old kid who hadn't realized that he'd left his spare Superman themed prosthetic leg in this park hundreds of miles away from his home. They're obviously on holiday or away and hadn't yet realized that this spare prosthetic leg of his had been lost and left behind in a park in Noosaville in New South Wales, Australia. They live in Maroochydore on the Sunshine. It says here, Sunshine Coast woman discovered the leg in a corner of one of the picnic huts near a park in Noosaville, New South Wales. When she discovered the leg was still there, in the same spot the following day, she tried to track down the owner, and it ended up belonging to a little boy who lives in Maroochydore, hundreds of kilometres away from where the leg was left behind. But he was very happy to have his spare prosthetic leg returned to him. It's kind of like one of those stories where you think, oh, this poor 3-year-old kid, Superman fan. I mean, the fact that he has to have a prosthetic leg is pretty sad in and of itself, but I'm glad that it was reunited with this leg for him, that he's got it back in his possession.
Yeah, and it looks like that it's on some fabric, so as he gets older, I guess theoretically he can keep putting it on whatever, if the prosthetic leg gets larger, which it's kind of tragic when you think about it. You know, having a prosthetic leg in and of itself, is both heroic and tragic at the same time, because it's somebody overcoming something. But at the same time, man, at 3 years old, you're gonna have to go through a lot of those until you finally kind of even out when you're older. So, but I'm glad it's back. I keep thinking it's like it was a spare leg, so that's why they didn't notice it was gone yet. But I don't want to get lost in those weeds.
Yeah, no, it was a second leg, and obviously he was getting around with his one that he uses all the time, and I don't know why they had a spare leg at the park, but that's neither here nor there. I'm just glad that it's returned to its owner, and the little boy has got his Superman leg back with him. All right, Michael, are you prepared for this week in history to follow through for what's happened? the Superman world in the past, in this week, in September, what is it, the week of September 13th and onwards?
Yeah, September, I would call it September 10th. But yes, I am ready, willing, and raring to go.
Here we go.
Come with me now, my son, as we break through the bonds of your earthly confinement, traveling through time and space.
Starting in 1957, we have Superman number 117, which came out on the 10th of September. Had three stories: Clark Kent, Man of Mystery, The Secret of Fort Superman, which was an early idea about that tied into the Fortress of Solitude, but wasn't the Fortress of Solitude, and The Man with the Zero Eyes. In 1967, you had Justice League of America number 57, plus two stories in World's Finest Comics number 171, The Executioner's List, which was a Superman-Batman story, and just a Superman story called The Secret of Kryptonite. 1977 was a little tougher. He appeared in an issue of Super Friends, which tied into the cartoon series of the same name. That came out on September 15th. Then in 1987, we have Adventures of Superman number 435 coming out, which was the last issue written by Marv Wolfman of that series. Superman also appeared that week in Booster Gold number 23, which was the resolution to the story that started in Action Comics number 594. In 1997, Superboy number 45 came out, which was a Legion of Superheroes guest starring issue. And we have more of Electric Superman in Superman number 129. And finally, in 2007, we have the only real big Superman thing that came out this week, and I'm still going to complain about it 10 years later, was the Death and Return of Superman Omnibus, the first one they put out. Not only was it not an omnibus, as they cut out most of Funeral for a Friend, but they slapped that "Buy the Death of Superman DVD" on the cover. Not the dust jacket or the plastic, but the cover. And I don't think I'll ever really get over that. In the real world, on September 10th, 1966, the New Adventures of Superman animated series premiered on CBS. 2 days later, in 1993, Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, made its debut on ABC television. I still remember being there that night for the first episode. And on September 13th, artist Mike Grell, who drew Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes, was born in 1947.
Very good. That's it.
But yes, that is it. I think in the day and age of people watching it either through streaming or on DVD that they don't realize that the night Lois and Clark premiered, they actually cut some scenes out of the pilot and had a 15-minute making of special once the actual pilot wrapped up, and you would only see those scenes later when it was broken up into the regular like syndication package, and then you could watch the whole thing on DVD and in streaming. But it's just, I don't know why I'm fascinated by that, but I just think it's kind of weird that you have a pilot for a thing and you don't show the whole thing. It doesn't really make any sense to me.
Yeah, it's a strange one. That is weird. Before we finish off, I'm also getting a year older this week. I turn 46 on Saturday, September 16th. It's just scary that I'm closer to 50 than I am to 40 now.
Oh, it's okay. I mean, I'm past 40 at this point now. So at least you have that we're no longer separated by the dreaded 3.
And Virginia in the chat room is wishing me a happy early birthday. Thank you, Virginia. Much appreciated. Even though I get to a point where you're going, oh, I don't know if I even want to remember that it's my birthday anymore. But it's 46. Still feel young. I don't think I'm think I'm the fittest I've ever been, but still feel the aches and pains in the mornings. But nevertheless, that is this week in history. Thank you, Michael, for that. It's going to be an interesting week with Action Comics 987 coming out. I think it's going to be a lot of discussion around Superman online with that particular comic book and where that leads us. So looking forward to seeing the reaction coming out of that. And I'm sure we'll get to see more of what's coming up with Supergirl this week. The trailer came out, so there may be a few more tidbits coming out with online for that. But anything you're looking forward to this week, Michael, before we wrap up the show tonight?
I just want everybody who is listening to this after the fact that has been affected by either Harvey or Irma to know that, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with them. It's been a weird couple of weeks here in the States. Not only have we had like two major hurricanes make landfall on two different parts of the country, but we've had these massive wildfires on the West Coast. And last week, a tiger got loose in Atlanta and was on the interstate. And, you know, with a tiger showing up on the interstate and the, you know, like two hurricanes hitting and massive wildfires, I just want to know who's playing Jumanji. And could you please stop? Because it's really getting out of hand.
That's funny. Yes, it's crazy what's going on out there. And anyone who didn't believe in climate change, I think they're feeling a little bit sheepish at the moment.
Yeah, they're it's interesting how that discussion is shifting slightly, but not as fast as it should here in the States. But yeah.
So there you have it. All right, well, the show is nearly over, but before we do sign off, I'd like to thank everyone for listening in to Radio KAL Live. And once again, thanks to Mark who called in to chat with us tonight, and to Alex, Virginia, and others who are in the chat room, the Flash chat room, listening to us live tonight. We appreciate your input into tonight's show. And a big thank you to you, my co-host, Michael Bailey. Thanks, Mike.
Pleasure as always, Steve.
A huge thank you to our sponsors and patrons, Tina Murray, Patrick O'Neill, and Stephen Wright. And if you want to sponsor our show, please head to patreon.com/supermanhomepage, where you too can be a sponsor for as little as $3. Now, a recording of this show will soon be available on the Superman homepage website. If you'd like to listen back to what took place, maybe tuned in late, caught part of the show, missed some of what we said in the beginning, then you'll be able to listen to it back in full, the whole hour, on our website shortly. Michael and I will be back next week on Tuesday, September 19th at 7:30 p.m. Pacific Daylight Savings Time for another edition of Radio KAL Live. We look forward to talking with you then. Until then, be sure to check out supermanhomepage.com for all your daily news updates on everything surrounding the Man of Steel. I'm Steve Yunus. On behalf of myself and Michael Bailey, thanks for listening in to Radio KAL Live, brought to you by supermanhomepage.com.
You diseased maniac.